Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And today we will continue our study on the book of Genesis. Okay, Lauren.
God, we're so grateful to be able to meet here together and be in your presence today. We know it's a gift. Help us never to lose sight of that. While we're here together studying your word, we ask that you open our ears and our hearts to whatever it is you are wanting to teach us. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to continue with Genesis, and today we're going to start with Genesis 4. Cain murders Abel. The man was intimate with his wife, Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, I have had a male child with the Lord's help. She also gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked the ground. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. Cain was furious and he looked despondent. Okay, so now here we have the first two born sons to Adam and Eve. We have Cain and we have Abel. And then, so it's obvious here that because they're making an offering, they're already, one is working, one is overseeing the animals, and the other one is working the ground, working the land. And they both present an offering to God. So that tells us that they know God is there. You know that, I'm assuming that Adam and Eve taught them, you know, how to worship and praise God, and that God created them and all of that. And then if chapter 3 ended with, because of the sin of Eve, he drove man out and stationed the cherubim and the flaming whirling sword east of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the Tree of Life. So we assume that they're at the Tree of Life is where they're taking their offerings to. So so this is something that they go and do. They work the land, and now they're taking their offerings to God. But God accepts Abel's offering but rejects Cain's. And then Cain is furious. And he looked despondent. Despondent means, because I don't know what despondent meant, means low in spirit, loss of hope or courage. So Cain is furious and he feels loss of hope, discouraged, you know. And also, I would have to say he probably feels jealous of his brother because, you know, his brother's offering was accepted. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So here, and reading that, it reminded me, because I had just read it, it reminded me of Mark 14, verse 38. Where Jesus tells the disciples, stay awake and pray so that you will not enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so here where God asked Cain, why are you furious? And why do you look despondent? You know, if we think about the times that we've been furious and that we've been angry, and if we just pause for a minute and ask ourselves that question too, why are we angry? Why are we furious? You know, we might have a different reaction. But here, here Cain doesn't respond, that he doesn't look to for God's counsel. And then and we might ask, well, why was Cain's offering rejected and Abel's accepted? Well, in Hebrews 11, verse 4, it tells us that By faith, Abel offered more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Abel's offering, you know, God looks at our hearts, and I think we forget that, or we don't know that, you know, that he knows what's in our hearts. So he saw Abel's heart, and he saw that Abel came to him with a good heart, wanting to worship, you know, and with his faith in God. And then he saw where Cain, his heart was not in the right place, you know, and he might not have brought him, and he might have brought him a good offering, but his heart was not in, you know, his heart was not in the right place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So, and I think that's the same thing when we go to church. Like Cain might have came with him with just, you know, with a dead spirit, you know, because you can go to church all you want, and if your heart's not in the right place, it's not going to do you any good, you know.
Right.
You can go, and we've talked about that over and over. You can go to church and do all these things and do all these acts and all that, but if your heart's not in the right place, well, that's not going to do you any good. So yeah. God saw Cain's heart, and so he rejected his offering. But then God comes to him in a kind and loving way, and he tells him, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So here Cain could have said, well, why, you know, how can I, what can I change? You know, why, right. You know, for more, help me, you know, change. He could have, mm-hmm. I mean, asked a million questions to God, you know, but he doesn't. And God made it very clear. If you do what is right, he could ask, well, what is right? What did I do wrong?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's why we keep saying to go back and say that prayer, you know, search my heart, because we don't always know mm-hmm. what's in our hearts, because, you know, our hearts are deceiving, and we don't always know what we're carrying with us. And we can assume that our hearts are in the right place, but we don't really know. And only God knows what's really in our hearts. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't ask God any of that. He becomes furious, he becomes angry, and he get, you know, it's like God gives him the warning, if you do the right thing, God already knew what was going to happen here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So, and it's kind of like a warning, hey, if you do the right thing, you have a choice. You could handle this way, or you could handle it the other way. Well,
yeah.
Cain chooses, you know, wrong. And he gives in to his anger, and he acts on it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's guardian? Then he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed, alienated from the ground that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. So Cain acts on his anger, and he goes to kill his brother. And not only kill his brother, but he plots it, like he plans it, because he tells his brother to go meet him in the field. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, it's not like he reacts to something his brother did or anything. No, he plans it, his schemes, you know, and he kills right. his brother. And then when God asks him, where is your brother? Cain lies about it. He lies about it. And he's like, I'm not my brother's guardian. And then, you know, when God asks him, what have you done? Still, he doesn't confess.
No.
So, you know, here you have Cain now with no remorse, you know, not wanting to confess. And we've talked about that too, about remorse and repentance. And here God gives them many chances to to come clean, and he doesn't, you know? So then, go ahead, were you going to say something to that?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and this goes back even to Adam and Eve. For one, the way God is, you know, he's like a parent, right? He could have easily just judgment right there and maybe killed him on the spot, but he didn't. You know, he talked to him right. He talked to him patiently, calmly, like we all should with our kids. But we're human, so of course our flesh is like, what did you do? You know? But you're right. Not only could he have questioned God, but he could have went to his dad or his mom. But then I was thinking when you were talking about it, this can, I believe like this is where we talk about our children take our sins. Like Adam and Eve, she ate the fruit. Adam ate the fruit. Instead of telling the truth, he just pointed the blame to Eve.
To Eve.
Right.
Yep. And instead of turning to God, because they have God there, and instead of turning to God, and they don't, they run and they hide.
Right.
And
even
you know,
with them, God was still kind. He fashioned them clothes. He could have did judgment. He could have just ended the human race right there with them at that moment. You know, like, okay, this ain't working out. Sin entered. We're done. Like, I'm not going to do this. But he didn't. He helped Eve have a baby, not just one, but two. And so you kind of see, even though we don't see Satan in there, but we pretty sure that he was already playing those mind games on Cain.
You
know,
and that just goes to show too, how you're, because I was thinking about our physical and spiritual presence here in this world, you know, because we have a physical presence and then we have a spiritual presence, you know, we have those two with us, and we're so used to letting our physical take over. And if we look at each other's hearts or at our own hearts with our physical eyes, we don't see the truth.
Right.
We don't see the truth. No. Right. So, and it's not until we grow spiritually, because our spirits, like Cain, he tells Cain, why are you so despondent? And that's low in spirit. That's where we are, where we all were, you know, thinking we weren't, that we're, hey, all holy here, you know, I go to church, but we're all in that place, you know, in that low spirit, you know. So very easily, and like you said, I'm sure Satan was already working on them, you know. God saw that. God saw when they brought their offerings, because he looks at our hearts, and we see that he continues to do that with David, with Peter, with Judas. You know, we see where he continues the kings, you know, the ones that harden their hearts and all that, where he's always in our hearts, and he knows what's there. So there's no hiding from him, you know, and we can either come to him with that, you know, when we don't know what to do with that or with what we're feeling, or we can act on it, or we can run and hide. And here Cain made the worst choice, because he went and he murdered his brother. Not only you have the two first born sons,
right?
And one's a murderer and the other one's dead, you know? So, then God gives them, you know, his punishment. You're going to, if you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. But Cain answered the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear, since you are banishing me today from the face of the earth, and I must hide from your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord replied to him, in that case, whoever kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. And he placed a mark on Cain so that whoever found him would not kill him. Then Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So even then, he's not even worried about that he killed his brother. He's more worried about the punishment that God gives them.
Right.
You know, and that goes back to that godly repentance and worldly, you know, remorse. No. Yes.
Yes.
And, and so, you know, And there we have a choice too. When we talked, you know, we did our podcast on Peter and Judas too, where Peter was what, you know, repented and was remorseful to where Judas wasn't, you know, where you're more sorry than you, that you got caught, or feeling self-pity instead of really being remorseful for what you did and repenting. And because here, you know, and I thought it was interesting because how we, you know, how we did that, the podcast on Peter and Judas, and how we put ourselves in both their places, and how we mm-hmm. were all Judas and then we were all Peter, right?
Peter.
And I think here too, I think if I ask you, if I ask you, you know, you ladies, who do you think you are in this story? Are you Cain or are you Abel? Because for me, at first I think I would think of myself as Abel, but then if somebody did something to me, because here it says two brothers, but if I apply that to my life, if I apply that to my marriage, you know, and instead of two brothers, you have two spouses, you know, and you can have two spouses and one, your heart's in the right place or in a better place. And then you have your spouse whose heart might not be in a good place, but you don't know that, you know, you're going right about your life and you go to church and you do all those things. You have your sacraments and all of that, but you don't really know what's in each other's hearts. You know, so are you Abel or are you Cain? I saw myself as Abel, but then when things go wrong and I'm furious, you know, if a spouse betrays another, or if a spouse is, you know, has an addiction, or, you know, has been idolizing their job or something, or commits adultery or something, if a spouse betrays the other, and now you're furious, you know, we too have that choice. I can see God asking me, or why are you angry? Why are you furious? You know,
right.
And would I act on that anger? You know, because I could bring that to God and let him counsel me, or would I act on that anger? And how many people do and run for divorce?
Mm-hmm. Well, and when it seems that God is taking their side, right? Like
right.
It was for Abel.
Yes. Abel, yes.
I think for me, I see myself as Abel for sure. You know, wanting to do the right thing, wanting to please. You know, even back then, I think I was pleasing the wrong person. Pleasing the, you know, worried about what other people were thinking. So I guess in a way, I don't know, would that be like a Cain too? Cause you know, but then yes, being betrayed, then the anger, but then not, maybe because I'm in a different place right now when everything came out, where I know vengeance is God. So I cannot take vengeance for myself. Like I had mm-hmm. to hold in that anger and be like, okay, I can't be mad. I have to forgive, and I have, because that's the right thing to do. So it's hard now. If you would have asked me before I was saved,
right,
maybe I would have said, I'm Cain all the way, you know, but.
Because what got me thinking was when he tells him, where's your brother? And he tells him, I'm not my brother's guardian.
Sorry.
And I felt like I can see God asking, hey, where's your husband? Where's your wife? You know?
Yeah.
If you react to the anger and you say, that's it, I'm done, and you file for divorce, because I thought of where he murdered him, you know, and we talked before too about spiritual death, you know,
right.
So, and I think when because we're kind of, you know, when you're married, you're kind of, that's my brother, you know, like that's, in the end, we're all going to be brothers and sisters.
Right.
So, and that's what kind of got me thinking, because how would I apply this? And so if I applied it to my marriage, I can see myself here, you know, and had you have, God gives you the choice, because we talked about how God gives you the choice. If you take it to God, and he tells you, if you do the right thing,
right,
you will be accepted, but if you do the wrong thing, you will not be accepted, you know, and he tells you sin is crouching at the door. And it's very tempting because society tells us they make divorce seem like it's real easy, you know, and they dress it up really nice. You get to start over and da 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 da. But and that's some sin. Think, divorce you know, is sin.
The right way. Right.
Yeah. They think that's the right thing, but divorce is sin. And that temptation, yeah, it's crouching at the door. You know, it's right.
Well, and I think what's hard is when we see other people living their best lives in their second marriage or in their third marriage. So then I can see where it is easy for people to get confused. Like, well, are you sure this is what God wants? Maybe this isn't what God wants. Maybe God wants you to have a second choice or a second chance so you could have a happier life, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what the world tells us. And that's what pictures tell us. And that's
all right.
We see. So, you know, I can see where that can become confusing or where it's, I guess what, that's the easy way out, right?
That's it, divorce, yes. And and remember, because that's where you kind of have to go back to what is right and what is wrong, because it tells them if you do the right thing. So you really have to be able to discern what is the right thing here.
Right.
So what we've learned from Genesis, from studying Genesis mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3, that he didn't intend, he made man and woman, you know, and that divorce was not, you know, should not be an option, you know, it's allowed, but because of man, you know,
Moses.
So, yep. But that's not what he intended for marriage from the beginning. So if we understand, if we can understand that, hey, divorce is wrong and divorce shouldn't be an option, you know, and when your brother, you know, does something or your spouse that you're angry, that you can take that to God, that God is asking us, why are you angry? Why are you furious? Because then we're removing God from when we choose. I feel like when we choose divorce, you're removing God
altogether,
because you're not believing all the promises that he made, you know,
right.
I will rescue you. I will do the impossible. I will restore you. I will be your vengeance. I will, you know, then we're removing all of that. And then when, cause you see it's Cain and Abel, and then you think David and Saul, you know, when Saul was after David all those years, mm-hmm. Saul started off good, but then he became angry and jealous too. And he goes after David, you know, and he's chasing David all those years, trying to kill him. So, so you mm-hmm. see those same, it's the same thing over and over, but here where he tells us if, you know, he's very clear. And I like that. If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? He's asking him, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. So like, I think that he's being very clear, and we miss that. We miss that because our hearts and our spirits are low, you know,
and our hearts are hard.
And our hearts, yes, are already hardened, and we're missing that. You know, we're missing where God is talking to us already, and we react. We react to the anger, and we commit murder. So then he gives them his punishment. So the punishment that he gave Adam, Cain's is going to be, his punishment's going to be worse. He's going to have to work harder, and he will be restless. He will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And then we go to the line of Cain. Cain was intimate with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain became the builder of a city. So we went from Adam and Eve to now we have a city of people. And he named the city Enoch after his son. Erah was born to Enoch. Erah fathered Mehujael. Mehujael fathered Methushael. And I'm not going to attempt to say all those names. But we see that the population is rapidly growing for Cain.
Right.
But as you mentioned earlier, Yvette, that here we see where, you know, they opened the door to sin. And now, you know, in that line of Cain, now you have Lamech, or I'm going to say Lamech.
Lamech. I think it's
Lamech.
Okay. Yeah.
Lamech said to his wife, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. wives of Lamech, pay attention to my words, for I killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is to be avenged seven times over, then for Lamech it will be 77 times. So here they've already, now he's boasting, he's, you know, announcing all proud, I killed a young man for striking me. So he just took, you know, they started to murder each other, and they've removed God. You know, he's saying, they're saying it like it's a good thing. Cain is to be right. avenged seven times. Now, because I killed somebody,
I get to, yeah.
Yeah, I get 77 times. So mm-hmm. now you have corruption, you know, like you, like they've lost their.
But do you see where the sins are getting worse and worse? Because it's yes. almost like Adam lied or Eve lied, mm-hmm. right, to God. And then now murder, Cain lied and murdered. And so now we have mm-hmm. murder, but not just murder, because here too, Lamech was the start of the multiple wives, because he has two yes. wives now.
He has two wives.
So now it's not only a murderer, but an adulteress on top of that. So it just seems like it's getting worse and worse.
Worse and worse. Even, yeah, things became worse.
We're what, four chapters? Golly.
So, you know, that like that, they're not able to contain sin anymore. Like it's already, right. you know, right. At its worst.
Right.
Adam was intimate with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has given me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. A son was born to Seth also, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord again. So this is kind of like the first revival. So mm-hmm. Eve has another son, and now they're, you know, to where Cain, because of what he did, you know, his lineage is contaminated now.
Corrupted,
so now we have, right. yes, corrupted. So now we have Seth, a new start. So, and then the line of Seth. This is the document containing family records of Adam. On the day that God created man, he made him in likeness of God. He created them male and female. When they were created, he blessed them and called them mankind. So Adam was 130 years old when he fathered a son in his likeness according to his image and named him Seth. Adam lived 800 years after he fathered Seth, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Adam's life lasted 930 years. Then he died. Seth was 105 years old when he fathered Enosh. Seth lived 807 years after he fathered Enosh, and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Seth's life lasted 912 years, and then he died. So, and it goes on to talk about Enosh and Kenan. And then Yvette, you brought up where Enoch,
mm-hmm.
Where it talks about Enoch, where he was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. And after mm-hmm. he fathered Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and fathered other sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was not there because God took him.
Right.
So we're assuming that he took him in the same way he took Elijah.
Right. Right.
Right.
So yes, and I think Enoch was very well. We know he walked right and he pleased God. And so I wonder. I mean, there's no explanation why he took him, but that's the only thing I could think of was he walked in righteousness. He
yes.
walked by
that's
faith.
What, yeah.
So I that's wonder if he would be one of the first. Well, we talk about Abraham all the time, but I think Enoch is important because God took him alive. He walked with yes. him and then he was not there. So we have to believe that he was one of those first righteous men that walked with God.
Yeah, because Enoch was Cain's son. So Enoch was, I guess he was the only one.
I thought yes. this Enoch came from Seth's line. This is still Seth's line.
Oh, the line of Seth. Oh, so he had a uh-huh. son named Enoch too then?
Right. Or I think this was like a great, 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 great grandson.
Oh, yeah. Jared was 162 years old when he fathered Enoch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah. Because I was like, wait a minute. I just heard Enoch. And it was the, yeah. the line of Cain. So he had an Enoch too.
He had an Enoch too, because I believe Seth will be the line of Noah too.
Yes. Yep. So then, we jumped down, and so Lamech's life lasted 777 years, and he died. Noah was 500 years old, and he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sons of God and daughters of mankind. So this chapter 6 is very interesting because then you have when mankind began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of mankind were beautiful. So the sons of God's are like demonized men. Because, and we know this because Tony tells us that those were demonized men, and then they saw that the daughters of mankind were beautiful, and they took any they chose as wives for themselves. And the Lord said, "My spirit will not remain with mankind forever because they are corrupt. Their days will be 120 years. So the Nephilim, that's what they were called, Nephilim, mm-hmm. were on earth both in those days and afterwards when the sons of God came to the daughters of mankind who bore children to them. They were the powerful men of old, the famous men." So, and some of the commentary said that these were the angels, the fallen angels.
Oh.
Remember when Satan and then some of the angels followed Satan?
Right.
That those were the fallen angels because they couldn't intermarry with the women, but they could
reproduce.
Yes. And so
I never knew that. I guess I didn't really pay attention to that. So wow. Okay, yeah, so it starts, God, it's because they're the fallen angels.
The fallen angels, yeah. So, and there's scripture that tells us, well, in Job, it's in Job 1:6, 2:1, and 38, verse 7, where they refer to the sons of God, and they're angels.
Okay.
And then angelic creatures. And then in Jude 6, it tells us of angels who did not keep their proper domain, left their habitation, and they sinned in sexual immorality. So that's why they say that it's the fallen angels.
Oh, because they were on the earth too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were on the earth. Remember, because Satan's on the earth.
Yeah.
So they couldn't intermarry.
So it was Adam and Eve, and they were on the earth too.
Yes. Right? So they're, they couldn't intermarry with the humans, but they could reproduce. So, and remember, because Satan... So Satan sent his angels to to have these relations with the human woman because Satan was trying to pollute the genetic pool of mankind with corruption to keep from bringing forth the seed of the woman, the Messiah promised in Genesis 3.
Mm.
So and he almost succeeded because this is where God, you know, says, "Hey, everybody's corrupt," like he regretted, because then as we keep reading,
right,
you know, we have God saying, "When the Lord saw that human wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was deeply grieved. Then the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind whom I created off the face of the earth, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and birds of the sky, for I regret that I made them.' Noah, however, found favor with the Lord." So here God sees how evil and wicked, you know, they've become, and he regrets it, and but then he finds favor with Noah, and he decides to start over, you know, to wipe them all out with the flood and start over. So God reveals his plan to Noah, and he gives the people 120 days to repent. So there are the family records of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God, and Noah fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness. God saw how corrupt the earth was, for every creature had corrupted it its way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth. So he tells Noah to make the ark, you know, and he gives them like in detail how big the ark needs to be. And he tells them, understand that I am bringing a flood waters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. You are also to bring into the ark two of all the living creatures. And he tells them to bring the animals, you know, in pairs and all of that. So, but, you know, he's talking about how wicked the earth is. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's kind of like now how wicked it is. You know, like.
Yeah. And, you know, I was going to say, he did the flood. He wiped out humankind to those who didn't repent and get on the ark. But I wonder why he never wiped out Satan and the fallen angels, because we know he had the power. He has the power to, right? Or he could have. But I wonder.
Well, because remember, he made man to rule over them. Remember, like he gave man authority to rule over evil. So we have they're there, you know. And why he leaves them there, I don't know. But we have the authority to rule over them, because with God, and the only way we can do that is with God. We can't rule over them ourselves. There's no way. You know, we have to let God work. We have to have God's spirit in us and you know, the Holy Spirit. And we have to let God be our masters, because if not, we're, you know, remain slaves of sin. If not, you go down that road of sin, and then, you know, look how hard it is. So, and there's no way we can do it without God. And that's the thing, that people, you know, we're so hard-headed and we reject him. And then if you look at generations and generations and how far we've gotten from God, and how, you know, and then when your spirit is so low, then your flesh is weak, and your emotions, we're reacting, you know, sin is at the door and we're opening it and letting it in.
And, you know, but again, it shows us how good God is, because he could have just wiped it and been done with it. But he chose Noah because Noah was righteous and he walked.
Yeah.
And so it kind of brings me to Abraham, which I know we will cover Abraham and the next, you know, as we go on in Genesis, because, you know, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Abraham asked him, well, what if you find five righteous people, you know, are you going to destroy it, or 45 and then 30, and you know, the numbers went down, and God said, yeah, I'll leave it alone if I can find those righteous. So again, you know, that just shows how good he is. And if he would have found the, you know, because he saved one man and his family out of the whole, well, we don't know how many people at this time there was that he wiped, you know, humans and creatures alike
still how we end up going back to that, you know, how we always end up going back to that. Because if you look at where we're at now, it's like we're in that place again, you know. And we saw that with Israel too, how they you know, his chosen people, and how things were good with David, and then when David died, and then Solomon, and then it goes back to that, you know. So it's sad. You know, and he grieves, the way it explains how he grieves and he regretted that he created us. But, you know,
as we learn about God, and as we read about God in different, you know, books from the prophets, he tells us time and time again that he loves his people. You know, he loves all of us. And it does break his heart when we are broken, or when we sin. And that's one thing that I don't think some people don't. Oh, it's okay. You know, like they don't, I guess maybe it's not real to them, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Like back then. Yeah.
Right. Well, God, because if you look
my actions, I didn't think affected him. We don't think that it affects God.
Right. We think those little actions, that they're little ones, and they don't. But those little ones, if you add all those little ones together, it is a huge, you know, becomes a huge, eventually ends up being a huge, have a huge impact.
Right.
And, you know, if I just love the way he tells Cain, like he's really clear with them that you do what is right. And sometimes, like now where I'm at now, it's easier to see what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
Like then, no, it wasn't so easy, you know, because a lot of the choices that I made, I thought they were the right choices. But now that I've gotten closer to God and that, you know, in my journey where I've learned scripture and how God works, you know.
But what is it? So simple, right?
Yes.
Do what's right. You know, hello.
You will be accepted. And with him, you know, we have everything. Like, you have everything. And it's not what he intended for us here on earth. You know, it was not what he intended for marriage, and it was not what he intended for earth.
Because it goes back to Adam, you know, he gave him everything. Like, you don't even have to work. Just go eat from this tree. So I don't think we were meant to work hard at life or carry the burdens and carry those hardships. But, you know, I mean, one small mistake has like a domino effect on our lives. And that's, you know, things that we don't think of is like our sins carry on to our children and our children, you know, because what do they say? If you're from a divorced family, most likely you're going to have your
right divorce, because you lose your lives. Because look what he tells Cain, you're not going to find rest. You're going to become a restless wanderer. So if we commit sins and then there's consequences for those sins, right, and you do become restless, you know, you become restless. And so then you're not in a good place. And here now you have, you know, children. And so if you're not, your children are learning from what they see in you. So if you're now living in sin and you're restless, you're not at peace, then that's what they see. And they think that's okay. And then, you know, the enemy takes advantage of that. Satan takes advantage of that. And yeah, he's at the door and he makes those sins seem really good, you know, and really easy.
And remember, it's free will. So God's not going to force our hand
he
on can, anything.
No, and he didn't force. He laid it out for Cain. Like, it's like, wow. And he still
on the silver platter, right?
Yes, it's like, you know, because we're always like, I'd get like the disciples, give me a sign, you know. And then he like tells them straight out, you know, he's doing all those miracles. And they're still like, you know, no, another one.
But his mom did the same thing, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because the enemy is clever. The enemy is very clever, and without God, you know, we're not going to catch that. We're going to miss that, you know. And we can fall into his hands.
When we live our lives and we don't put God in the equation, I think it's easy for us to think, "No, I'm living right." But then once you add God to that equation, you put him first and center, everything just seems different.
Very,
you know,
different.
And
very
so then different. Your life will be different, a lot different than what it was before. And that's the mistakes that I think a lot of us make at that time. Yeah, we thought our lives was right because we didn't know better, because God wasn't there to guide us, to show us. And I didn't know scripture like I do now. So that's a whole,
right,
you know, it's different. It's real different.
Yeah, because the only way to know God and know his ways and how he works is to read scripture. You have to read scripture.
And I think we need to really, it's so strong to keep on reminding everyone, you know, God is not a religion. You know, Jesus is not a religion. Jesus, it's a relationship, you know, and we have to put forth, like, we have to make an effort as well, because it's not God's job just to do it all for us. Like, we have to be thankful. And I learned we had to be thankful for the good seasons, for the bad seasons, for the good, the ugly, the messy. Like, we have to be thankful for those things too, because that's the only way. And that's a hard thing to accept. Like, what do you mean I have to be thankful when I'm hurting? Yeah, you do. You have to be thankful in those moments too.
So because you can either go through those alone or you can do them with God, you know. And when you do it with God, it's completely different. And I think a big part that we miss too is that we're so focused on our physical life here in this world that we don't focus on our spiritual life.
No.
You know,
and the Bible tells us we need to focus on the end game, which is when we go home. with Jesus. Like, that should be all our priority, you know?
Yep. And our spirits, they're so, because of, you know, our ancestors and how much time has gone by, we've lost a lot of that, you know? And my mom, I like to think that my mom had a good relationship with God, but even then, there was a lot lost in there, you know? So there's so much that I didn't know. And, so we have to work on our spiritual life. And the only way to do that is by getting to know Jesus. And, so you can get to know God, so you can have that relationship. And it's picking up the book. It's picking up this book and reading it.
Absolutely. Yes.
So do you have our closing prayer? Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I think about that too. You know, I think my mom and my grandma showed me, you know, they had faith, you know, but again, they had the faith, but how was their relationship with God, you know? Because I can't tell you, I don't ever remember seeing my mom read the Bible, but I know she praised him, and talked about him and loved him so much. And she loved the Virgin Mary. And so I know her faith was good and her love was there, you know, but I think for me now I can teach my girls, yes, we love God, we praise him, but let's not forget, we need that relationship with him.
Right.
So I think that's real important. But yes, I have the closing scripture from Proverbs chapter 8, 32 through 35. It says, "And now, sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. Listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is happy, watching at my doors every day, waiting for the post of my doorway. For the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good one. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you next week.